I was just exhorting some of the fellows the other night. And there's a lot of things that we don't seem to understand, a lot of things that we don't seem to know, and sometimes not even concerned about. But I was speaking of why that people have problems the way they have problems. You know, they're up and they're down and they're in and out. You can always tell children. You go to look for children, you'll find them in a park or you'll find them somewhere skipping rope, seesawing, or swinging, or whatever, you know. Doing all kind of little things that sometimes is very foolish. A lot of times they take a chance with their life. And when you find spiritual children, you find them seesawing. They're up and they're down and they're up and they're down. And you find them swinging because they're in and they're out. And then they're in and then they're out. You know, and you can tell when they're children. And you can tell the difference between them and the grown-ups. But I was just talking the other night to some of them, and I was speaking of some things that some of you probably won't hear, won't know. When I get through, you still won't know. You won't understand. You won't care. So you won't get the benefit and the help of it. Because you don't realize the value of it. But some do realize the value of it. The value of it is that it keeps you from eternal damnation. It keeps you from death. It keeps you from sorrow. It keeps you from heartaches. It keeps you from sickness. It keeps you from poverty. It keeps you from prison. It keeps you from insanity. It keeps you from blindness. It keeps you from deafness. It keeps you. That's the value. It keeps you. And I watch people, you know, and people, they have a lot of problems. They always have problems. And though you preach to them year after year, they can't seem to perceive or conceive of what you're saying. Their concept is so poor of what you say. Though you say many things, and though you desire to say many things, yet their understanding still remains so poor. I see people doing things and they have a lot of problems. They have a continuation of hurts. And the reason is because they don't walk in the Spirit. They don't walk in the Spirit. You know, though they're told to walk in the Spirit, and the Bible said, if you walk in the Spirit, then you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And they're told to walk in the Spirit, but they won't walk in the Spirit. You know, we've got a light. Brother Taylor sings that song, Let My Little Light Shine. We've got a light. And the Bible said that if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, then we'll have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all sin. If we walk in the light. But now, if you're not walking in the light, then that means you're not in the Spirit, but in the flesh. And the Bible said, if you are in the flesh, then you cannot please God. Because in the flesh you cannot have faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. The very fact that you walk in the flesh proves that you don't believe the Scripture where He said that you should walk in the Spirit. And you have forfeited your right by the Word of God to faith in the Word of God. And you find yourself to a deficiency of life. And that an eternal loss. So then, one minute, we're walking in the light. The next minute, we're walking in the dark. One minute, we're walking in the Spirit. The next minute, we're walking in the flesh. That is to say, if my inner being, it's referred to as the inner man, if my inner being is not born again, then I'm walking in darkness. There is no way to get out of that darkness. There is no way. I can be as religious as I want to. I can give money to the preacher. I can go to church. I can join any church I want to. I can put my name on the roll. I can find all of the positions in life I want to, and the wealth and prestige, all that I can obtain unto. But I'm still walking in the dark. There is no way to walk in the light except you be born again. There is a light that you are in, and that's the light of grace, in that the blood is on the seat of atonement. And as long as that blood is on the seat of atonement, you are like a reflector. You have a light of grace that God watches over you. He still blesses you. He still is giving you an allotted period of time to change, to get in the light before the light withdraws, that you might be born to the light. And as the Bible said, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, the light of the Lord searching out the inward part. And if you don't light that candle, if you don't get into that light, then it's eternal doom when the day of allowance is over. That is the day of grace. So we have to hurry. We might make, as some men, we might turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, which means during the time of grace we frolic, we live it up in the passions, we give the devil our body and our feeling and our passions and our minds and our gullible desire to lust in every phase of our life. And the parasite uses it up as a tick that drinks the blood. But when the day of allowance is over, that's the end of it. There won't be any seconds. There won't be any other time. That'll be the end of it. So, I find this as a standing thing among people. Whereas most people perish from the lack of knowledge, it's not because they haven't heard. It's not because that God hasn't spoken. That isn't the reason they perish from lack of knowledge, because that isn't it. But what it is, they've not given the more earnest heed to the things they have heard. And they've not incorporated these things into their lifestyle. And they've not taken time to try to understand what God has said, nor to seek after God, to follow after the Lord. They've not had any desire to conform to God's way of life or to God's things. So because of that, there's a great problem. And you know, this is kind of speaking down to a level to where you can understand it. If the mind of Christ is the light of the world, and we receive that mind by measure as to whatever our conformity and our submissions are, then whatever measure of that mind we have, that's how much light we have. Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world." And measure to measure, we can bring a little light. And if the mind of Lucifer, which is the power of infiltration that came into the world because of the lust of Eve, or came into the world through the weakness of mankind, if that is darkness, if that mind is darkness, then there is a measure within you. Even from your birth, there is a measure within you. And that measure within you, the Bible speaks of it, of how great that darkness is. If the light within you be darkness, how great is that darkness? Because light can be darkness. There is in the world what they call a dark light. And the mind of Lucifer is a knowledge. See, darkness and light hath no fellowship, none whatsoever. It'll never be that darkness and light will ever fellowship. Where darkness come, light will flee away. And where light comes, darkness dissipates. Light eradicates darkness. So then,
as
an intellectual brilliance of your own human ego and development or skill in life as to your learning. In those things, see the darkness is within you, if it be the mind of Satan, Lucifer, or if it be the infiltration, then the darkness is within you. How great is that darkness? That is to say, some have never known the depths of Satan. How deepening is the darkness as to your intellectual mind? Can you fathom the depths of the darkness that your soul is in as to the intellectual side of life? So then, the darkness is there. Whatever the measure is in your life, so is your judgment. And some that have gone deeper into sin, the Bible said, shall receive the greater damnation. Jesus said one time, these that have delivered me unto you shall receive the greater damnation. Whereas some excel to a greater life, a full reward, Paul said, going on to a greater life, depending on them that want to apply themselves in Christ and really try to do something for God. Others just kind of idle along. I say this again to you. Some make it into heaven. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Some rise to different dimensional heights as to his glory. As to a rich man, as to a wealthy man, as to a poor man. As to kings, queens. So then, some people, they barely get in as if by fire. That is, they are ambitious to do things that they think they're right in. They're very religious, like a lot of these evangelists. And they feel like they have really burned the fields and they've done great things and they've built empires. And they go for their reward. And they think that they're at the top of the list. But then when they get there, they find out that the Lord bypasses them, or he will. And he'll call the man that dug the ditches, that nailed the nails, that sawed the board. Not the preachers that have lived in convenience, had their heart's desire, that lounged around, that done nothing. Everything was well with them. He'll go beyond them, and he'll call the man that has worked. Now you might say, well, what do you mean by that, Brother Pike? You know, as to a support I'm speaking of. I mean, I heard a story one time. How do you know about the praying hands? You ever read the story of the praying hands? How two artists got together, and how that both of them couldn't go to school and both of them couldn't train. So one sacrificed his art career and talent to support the other one. And he worked hard until the other one was successful. He said, and then when you're successful, then you can help me. And then I'll become successful and both of us will be great artists. And so he worked until the one became a great, successful painter as to his ability. And then after he did, he was ready to support the other one so he could become a successful painter. But when they got to examining the hands that had dug and the hands that had done the hard work, they were so callous. They were so out of proportion that he could never be an artist again. His talent was gone. And you know what made the other artist famous? Was he painted a picture of those calloused hands of the one that had labored. You see, and the thing that really was preeminent, you know, you don't hear nothing about the famous painter today. Hardly ever. But the praying hands are very famous. As a matter of fact, Oral Roberts, so far as I know, just has built an erection in front of his building there of praying hands. I think, I'm not sure, I haven't seen them, just maybe a picture. But I think they're supposed to be way up. I don't know whether 20, 30, 50, 100 feet tall. I don't know how big. But I just said that to say this. See, our evaluation in life is always improper. And God's going to bypass the pretty boy. And he's going to bypass the pretty girl. And he's going to bypass the celebrities. And he's going to bypass the kings and the queens and a lot of the fancy preachers. And he's going to look for the man as it was in the story of Cinderella as to the girl with the dishpan hands. See, and that's the one that's going to have the preeminence. The ones that have supported the gospel, not the ones that have lived it up by partaking of the gospel, whether it be the preacher or whoever it might be. See, God's evaluation is so different from our evaluation, folks. And I said that again to get back to my thought here. I'm not going to try to keep you long. But I'd like to say a few more little things if you don't mind. You know, we like to move to the celebrity side of life. We like to move to the plush side of life. And we like to be on the side where everything's royal. But we don't like to be on the side of toil. We don't like to be on the side of deficiencies. We don't like to be on the side that makes us unbecoming. Even though the Bible said concerning Jesus that he was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, had no beauty that any should desire. See, like the man with the praying hands, as we call it, the man that supported the other. See, we don't want anything that will distort or keep us from what Satan, the infiltration, desires from the flesh. He's of the world. He loves the world. He puts the love of the world in your heart. He desires the things of the world. That's his kingdom. When it perishes, that's the end of it. And all who have given their body to that will perish with him. So then, to get on with my thought here. See, you have a problem. I have a problem. We have problems. And the question is, why do we have problems? Why is it? When the Bible said all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and those are the called according to his purpose. That his purpose in Christ Jesus before the world ever was. See, why do we have them problems? When the Bible said all the paths of God are peace. And he that keepeth his mind stayed on Christ Jesus, he'll have that perfect peace. That we should cast down imagination, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And we should bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And that we should not lean to our own understanding, but trust in the Lord or the Word with all of our heart. So then we know this, and the Bible said he maketh us to ride upon the high places of the earth. He feeds us with the heritage of Jacob. High places mean to the royalty and riches. Feeds us with the heritage of Jacob. Makes all of our beds in the time of our sickness. His blessings make us rich and adds no sorrow. And the Bible said all of these evils shall fall all around you and never come nigh your dwelling. And ye shall be like a tree that is planted by the water. And ye shall bring forth your fruit in your season. And your leaves shall not wither. And whatsoever you do shall prosper. Now knowing this, what is our problem? Somebody said, well, I don't really know, Brother Pike. I'm a Christian. Now then, this is where we start analyzing. This is where we start evaluating. And this is where we start wondering as to whether our evaluation is proper. Say, I'm a Christian. I've done all that he told me. And yet I'm unprofitable. See, that could never be. He said to some of the others that thought they were unprofitable. He said to them, he said, you do all that I tell you to do. Said, and then afterwards, come and tell me that you're unprofitable. You couldn't do that. There's no way. When you do what he tells you to do, you'll be very profitable. And the Bible said, all shall see your profiting. It's when we don't do the things that God tells us, this is when we become unprofitable. So see, we say, why is all of this? I'm a Christian. I've done all that you said, Lord. Saul one time said, I've done all that you told me to do. Samuel said, what have you done, Saul? Oh, he said, I've done everything you told me to do. He said, well, let me ask you something. He said, what is this lowering I hear? What is the sound of cattle that I hear? Didn't God tell you to destroy everything and not to bring back nothing? Said, if you've done all, said, why do I hear that? And then he said, because thou hast rejected my word, then I have rejected thee. See, when you mix and mingle with the world, when you go after the world, you become Saul. You can never be God's David. You'll become a Saul because you go after the world. If the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. If you're seeking preeminence in the world, if you're seeking desire in the world, if you're seeking to be something in the world, you could never be the son of David to sit on the throne. That is to say, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because your evaluation is wrong and your desire is wrong. Because if the love of the world's in you, then Satan hath control of you. Because he saveth the things that be of the world. Our conversation is in heaven. We're told to lay up treasures in heaven. We're told to follow after God. We're told to bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of the Lord. We're told to meditate in his laws day and night. So then I'm saying this. That's where the problem is. When we judge ourselves, we say, we are a Christian. We've done all. We are a Christian. And then the Lord says to us, you are a Christian because you went to church. You are a Christian because you say that you're religious. You are a Christian because you belong to some religious organization. But then the Lord says to us, have you fed the orphans? Did you ever take the orphans into consideration? Have you had any consistency as to day by day feed the hungry? Have you ever visited the poor in the time of their need? Did you ever help any orphans and widows as to a consistency or regularity of sharing with them? Did you ever take the naked into your house, that is to say little children that's overseas and wherever, and they've not been fed and they've not been clothed? Have you ever taken them into consideration? Do you have any plans or activities toward them that you can show me that you carried out through the past? Didn't I say unto you that when you take the naked into your house, when you clothe them, when you feed the hungry, when you consider the poor, when you turn away from doing your own thing to do mine? Didn't I say that your health would return to you? Didn't I say that your health would return to you? You're unhealthy and you blame God. Didn't I say that your health would return to you? And someone would say, well, Brother Pike, you know, it ain't because I haven't lived good. And this is because I'm not a Christian. It ain't because I don't love the Lord. Folks, the scriptures cannot be altered. They cannot be changed. They cannot be broken. It doesn't matter what you tell God or Brother Pike. God said, didn't I tell you that your health would return to you and that speedily? And that my light would go before you and I would be your reward and people would praise you. Paul said, in a good thing I praise you. And men would see your light and good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Didn't I tell you that? Didn't I tell you I'd make all of your beds in the time of your sickness? Somebody said, poverty, I've done everything, Brother Pike, and I just can't even pay my bills. The Bible said, don't lie against the truth. Didn't God definitely state that he'd make you to ride upon the high places of the earth? His blessings would make you rich and add no sorrow. But now listen. Didn't he also say that if I tell you these things and you don't do them, that thou shalt betroth a wife, but another man shall lie with her? Adulterous generation, didn't I tell you that? You didn't believe that, but it happened. Couldn't he say that in the day of judgment? Look at the entire world. When I fed you to the full, he said, in every man knees after his neighbor's wife. Didn't he say, for this I'll visit you, and I'll visit your iniquity upon your own head? Didn't he say that because you have not done what I told you, whereas I told you to bring all of your tithes and offerings into the storehouse, that there might be meat in my house? Didn't I say, if you do this and prove me, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, that I would open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you wouldn't be able to receive? How is it then that you say it is vain to serve God, and we've served him and it hasn't been to our advantage? How is it that you can say you've given and done these things and you're in poverty and sickness, sufferings and heartaches and woes and all of these things, and your homes are destroyed and your minds are collapsing on you, all these things? How is it that you say you are a Christian? But they say, we fasted, Lord. And he can say, I know, but I didn't take any knowledge to it, did I? They said, wherefore have we fasted and you take no knowledge? They said, but we prayed, Lord. He said, to make pretense and long prayer that you might receive the salutations in the marketplace. Be called a man, Rabbi, saying, yeah, yeah, he's on TV. Just bringing it down to a present day application. You know, he's got a gift. He's great. He's mighty. He's a healer. Loving the uppermost places, the seats that are high in the synagogue. Creating burdens that's grievous to be borne and wouldn't touch one of them. Projects that would cost hundreds of millions of dollars, bleeding the people to death. And you wouldn't touch one of them with your finger. But they toil all the time to support them. When the commission was to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, someone would say, Brother Pike, it takes a lot of money to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. No, it doesn't. It takes salvation. It takes the gospel. It takes Christ. Paul was a stowaway on a boat. He went over and preached to the people. Cast into prison, often hungry, and whatever, he preached to the people. I praise God for convenience of money, for all the things that he gives us as additives to carry the gospel. But folks, it doesn't require money to preach the gospel. It requires Christ and salvation for the gospel. I believe in supporting the evangelists. Give tens of thousands of dollars to them. I believe in supporting the missionaries. And a godly man that is holy, he's worthy of your support. But there are preachers and missionaries here in America and from the foreign field that all they do is ride a circuit to collect money. That's all they ever do. There's evangelists that goes from one state to another to collect money. And they'll go over in the mission fields and take pictures of the starving children, bring them back to show you with slides to collect money. And there are missionaries that come out of their own country, I know of them, that do the very same thing, that ride a circuit just to collect money. This is an abomination in the sight of the Lord. See, but we're children of God. We love the Lord. Are you a real Christian? The Lord would say, have you really supported my cause? Have you really done anything for me? Have you lived an overcoming life? Have you come out from the world and been a separate people? Is it that you do not touch the unclean things? When I said if you'd leave them alone, I'd receive you. You know, I'm just talking to you once in a while. I've done this. Hadn't done this now in a number of services. Well, sometimes I drive and preach, and I preach, teach, Revelation, whatever, and especially on the 10th. So I'm ringing, you know, like the last tent meeting until the water's pouring off like a spigot. I think even the camera's caught it. But I did for a good little while here. I'd talk to you a little bit. The reason I'm doing this is because I get the brethren once in a while and I sit down and talk to them, and the Spirit of God can tell them things that there's no other way that they can get them. And that's why I try to get into a little talk once in a while with you. See, and I'm saying this. Remember, if the infiltration of your life, which is the mind of Lucifer, that is a derivative from the fall of Eden, if that mind is in you, that is darkness. The Bible said, how great is that darkness? What is the strength of the binding of that intellectual reasoning that holds your soul from Christ? What is the depths and despair as to your future? What is the darkness and the deepening darkness of your hurt and disappointment in this life? Or your corruption as to what you will make allowance for? Some have never known the depths of Satan. And those that have known greater depths will see the greater damnation. Those that have the greater ambition toward God to do more will receive the greater reward. Paul said a full reward. And I don't want to, you know, try not to get to preaching. Hard for preaching not to preach. But see, I'm saying this. You've got a problem. I've got a problem. We've got a problem. They've got a problem. Everybody's got a problem. What is the problem? The problem is improper evaluation of their life. Not examining, says Proverbs. So you think you're something when you're nothing. And you've not checked up to see whether or not you're really in the faith as to believing the Word and conforming and walking in the Word, conforming to it and walking in it. So you've not done that. You just took a religious stride in what somebody said and what you thought about it and worked it out. And you say, God said, work out your own salvation. So you work it out so you can go to the bathing pools, and you work it out so you can take in the frolics, and you work it out so you can rob, cheat, steal, lie, swindle, do anything you want to. But see, God didn't say that. He said, come and let us reason together, which meant take the Word of God and then work out your own salvation. By listening to the Word of God, by understanding the Word of God, by believing the Word of God, by doing what the Word of God tells you to do. Now, you have a problem, why? Think of it like this. If I'm in the dark, and I've got a candle light, that's all the light I got, folks. And that's as far as I can see. But if I'm in the dark and I've got a lantern, you know, I can start across the hill or through the dark. If it's a good lantern, I can hold it with me, and every time I go to take a step, the light will be out in front of me. And I can just step right in the light. And as the Bible said, walk in the light as He is in the light. He said, if you do this, you'll have fellowship one with another. You won't be all gossiping, backbiting, strung out, going somewhere else, finding fault with the congregation, the preacher, and all these kind of things. See, because you'll be walking in the mind of Christ, the light. See? And we grow in that light. Now, if you walk in the light, then you don't stumble. The Bible said, he that walketh in darkness, he stumbleth. And Jesus said, work while it is day, for soon the night cometh when no man can work. And we won't go into that to try to explain it. We have in other sermons. But see, here you are, you're walking in the light. Now, he said not to be in the flesh, but in the Spirit. He said, if you be in Christ, then are ye in the Spirit. So walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust, all the desire of the flesh. Make no preparations to fulfill the lust or the desire of the flesh. Don't make any preparations for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And as I say, the original rendering of the word lust is desire. So, you walk in the light, and then all of a sudden, you're in the light. Brother Pike's preaching, you're in the light. The preacher preaches, you're in the light. You pray, you're in the light. You talk about Jesus, you're in the light. You think about Jesus, you're in the light. Just a little light here and a little light there and a little light, and then you're back out in the darkness. You come out of the mind of Christ, back into the mind of intellectual reason. Back into the mind of eating. Back into the mind of drinking. Back into the mind of conveniences. Back into the mind of your own human desire. Right back in it again. So you're in the dark, and then you stumble. You stumble. And like mosquitoes, as I was saying the other day, they bite in the dark. They stay in the dark. Once in a while, they'll come into the light, but you can see them in the light, and you can kill them. But they want them to get you in the dark, and then you scratch, and then you itch, and then you're miserable, and they suck the blood out of you. See, that's the way demons are. You don't know when that mosquito lights on you. You don't even know when he bites you. All you know is afterwards you got paws in there and you scratch and you scratch and you scratch till the blood comes out. See, demons, when you walk in your intellectual reasoning, them things is all around you. The night's full of them. They dwell in the darkness of the intellectual mind of that satanic thing that happened as a derivative from the garden. And they bite you, as we say. They strike you. Like that snake that struck Randy a few days ago. I don't know whether it was night or what. But it struck Randy on the foot. He didn't see it. Underneath the grass. You know, the Bible said all flesh is as grass. And Satan is like a snake in the grass. He savors the things that be of the flesh. So, when you are walking in your intellectual reasoning, you find problems, you get hurt, you bump into something, you trip, you fall, you stumble. Then when you come out again into the light, you've just got all kind of problems. You know, you recognize the thing, but you done got bruises and bumps, and it turns into cancer, and it turns into all kind of diseases and all kind of heartaches and woes and problems, and all that came about while you was walking in the dark. Let a man get drunk, go to town, ride around, go places. The Bible said he'll come back bruised up, beat up, all messed up. Say he didn't know nothing about it. Solomon said he didn't know nothing about it. He gets out and said, I'll go get drunk again because I didn't feel any of those beats and bangs. You understand what I'm saying? So that's the way it is, folks. You get drunk off the cares of life. You get out there in the dark and then you have problems. But take the man that walks in the light, that brings every thought into subjection to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he walks in the light. He don't get those bruises. He don't get those bumps. He don't have those heartaches. He don't have those sorrows. He don't have those troubles. See, because if a demon starts approaching him, he's in the light. And darkness can't mix with light. And that thing's put away. It can't get to it. It can't get to it. So that's why I keep telling you, don't go in and out. Don't spend 5 minutes in the light of God and the meditation of the things of God. The Bible said, let your conversation be in heaven. Lay up your treasures in heaven, where thieves don't break through and steal and moth doesn't corrupt. Let your conversation be holy, be in heaven. Not gossiping, backbiting, lying, cheating. Don't run after the things of the world and the corruption of the world, lest you perish with the world. See, have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. To think holy, to think virtuous, to think good, to put away evil, to shun darkness, and to reprove the evil works of darkness. And 24 hours around the clock, as we say. Walk in the light as he is in the light. Stay in the light. Keep your mind on God. Meditate in his laws day and night. Always think about something holy, something godly, something pure, something you can do for Jesus, some way to help someone, some way to expedite the kingdom of God, something that can be done as pertaining to being more holy, more godly, more virtuous, as to study, as to pray, as to fast, as to give, as to have a project for God, as the labor that you might have to give. You get back into your intellectual darkness and you're going to come up with problems. That's why you have problems. I have problems. We have problems. They have problems as our evaluation of life is improper. It's improper. So then many things we'd like to say to you tonight, but we're not going to say any more. But I want you to think on these few things that we've said. A lot of times people don't proceed too thoroughly, and they get a tape to rehearse these things and to go back over them. You know, I wished that we had tapes, many, many tapes, hundreds of tapes, of hours of exhortation, talk, expounding the word, revelation, wonderful, glorious, exciting revelation. That many of you, your ears have never heard it. Others have heard some, one a little bit here and one a little bit there. And some sitting for 2 hours and leaving, and others coming in. And scattered among you, many wonderful things. And then many wonderful things that you've never heard. Wish we had them on tape, but we don't. All we've got is our little struggling and efforts here in the church and wherever we've been. In many instances, there has been hours of glorious, wonderful, glorious things from heaven that has been given. I want you to stand with me. Glad to have Dale and Frank in service tonight. I think Frank had some things he had to take care of, and he told me he did, and it was a little late getting here. He said he didn't really know that he was going to have service tonight. So they never came prepared to come, but I'm certainly glad that they come. I know that Dale and Frank is not in service now like they one time have been. They just come every once in a while, but I thought of the blessings of God that has followed them financially, and that they so freely gave when they was coming. And I mentioned it to some of you the other day. Frank just turned an $80,000 cash deal. And God has blessed him in many other phases of life with thousands of dollars. Now, I know that if I get money, Frank gets money, you get money, and some of you make a lot of money. But that ain't gonna do the job. But it is the blessing of the Lord when you have contributed to Christ. And we have to beware lest we get paid off in financial blessings or the natural blessings of life and find ourselves void altogether of any spiritual revenue. But you can have both if you walk in the light, do whatever the Lord tells you. Love the Lord, honor the Lord, He'll bless you. He wants to bless you. I'd like for you to pray. Maybe you're in a hurry to go. Maybe you aren't. You're not in a hurry to go. But might be good if you think a little bit. It's lightning outside. I believe it was the night before last. I had a night vision. And in the vision, the winds blew so fiercely and rose with such rage until the inner walls of some of the cement buildings crumble. And I saw as it was, one would be crushed to death. Even though in the vision, the walls, the exterior walls, never failed. They stood the storm. But I stood and I thought, oh my God. I thought, oh my God. Lord, if these winds are this boisterous, then that means that everything around these cement walls is gone. It's torn to pieces. It's gone. So you never know, folks. You know, it could indicate that our strong effort to stabilize as to the surrounding walls, that is to say, our ministry reaching out as to build something strong that Satan can't penetrate, that it's standing as a testimony to the world. And it could indicate that some of the people, as to those that are in the interior, are morally decaying. And they are dying. And the weights of sin, Paul spoke of the weights that so easily beset you, that maybe you're going to be crushed by it. That moral decay are the inner things of some of my walls of defense. As to you, it could be that you're on your way out and that you're going to crumble under the contrary winds of doctrine and desire. And the convictions that you once had, you're going to lose them. And the stand for God that you once took, you're not going to have it. And your temper, your rage, your allowance in your home as to corruption and things to be there that you never would have allowed before. Could very well be that some of you are going down under this great ferocious type thing. Whatever it is, as I said, naturally speaking, it's lightning outside now. And in that it is, it might be good for us to pray, talk to the Lord, and think these things over. Here, let's sing a little chorus together. I love you. I appreciate you. I want to do whatever I can to help you. I really want to try to help you. I think you'll agree that the end of the world is here. I think you realize it's here. The drought came. The Lord's blessed us. The water tables have come back up according to the report. The rain is still coming. The drought has been, they have officially announced that it is over. It's a terrible thing. Brother Philip was telling me how hard it hit Mississippi. All right, let's sing together, can we?
be like Jesus, just to be like Jesus. On earth I long, can you sing it with me? To be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask just to be like Him. From Bethlehem's manger came forth a stranger. On earth I long to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask just to be like Him.
Do you want to be like Jesus? Let's sing this chorus together.
Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul.
Can you sing with me?
For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore.
I wonder how many of you are really anchored in Christ. The Bible said that it's a good thing that the soul be anchored. You know that you find an anchor for the soul. If you've never found an anchor for the soul, you need to find an anchor for the soul. Let's sing another chorus or two, can we?
On that hill far away stood that old rugged cross. It's the emblem of suffering and shame.
Sing it with me.
It was there on that cross Jesus suffered and He bled, just to pardon and to sanctify me. And I'll cherish that old rugged cross till my truth is at last I lay down. And I'll cling to the old rugged cross. I'll exchange it someday for a crown.
I want you to lift your hands up with me. Close your eyes. While you got your eyes closed, your hands lifted up, let's pray together, can we? Precious, wonderful Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so grateful for your wonderful presence, for the security and convenience of your great Spirit. Father, forgive us our sins and deliver us from iniquity. We have no fear, Holy Father, for thou art with us. Thy rod and staff, it comforts us. And yea, though we should walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou would be with us, O God. Hallelujah. I ask you to bless. I ask you to forgive. I ask you to lead us into all of the wonderful truths of God. Deliver us. Heal our bodies. Father, convert our minds and hearts to the wonderful mind of Jesus and the ambitions of Christ that gives eternal life. Grant it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing this chorus together, can we? Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It was good for my mother and daddy. It was good for my mama and daddy. It was good for my mama and daddy. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good. Let's sing another verse too, can we? It was good for the Hebrew children. It was good for the Hebrew children. It was good for the Hebrew children. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me.